A woman on Chof Beis Amud Aleph, the third line. We were discussing yesterday the point that Kohenim, the special takana of the Chachamim, that Kohenim were able to use salt of Hekesh for their korbanos, but not for their eating. And we ended up explaining that what that means is when, not just when they offer their korbanos, there's no chiddush in that. Even Yisrael is providing salt by Hekesh for the salting of his korbanos, but it means even when the Kohenim are eating the portions of the korbanos, they're entitled to use salt for the hektish for that purpose, but not when they're eating cholin together. They do have to eat cholin before they eat the kodshim, so that they're not eating kodshim when they're hungry. They're eating them a la sova, when they're almost satisfied, just like we have with the afikoman. But nevertheless, for that, they have to provide their own salt. So we were discussing the point that when it comes to how exactly we know that, and we said on the and wood also comes in shalt sibur, and we said there's a comparison between the wood and the salt. On the other hand, we thought maybe the salt should be comparable to the lavoina, and that the person has to bring himself. So we left off saying that where the chiddush is though that given that the Kohenim, according to what we said, there was an opinion of Ben Buchri, a Kohen in Rabbi Yechon and Zakkai's times, who held that the Kohenim don't have to contribute Matzah Shekel. So then it comes out that according to that way of looking at it, they're not even contributing towards the expenses of the Beis Mikdash. Maybe they shouldn't be able to use the salt. And therefore we were saying that they would. Now, in this discussion, we had taken it as a given that the wood for a Kohen is provided by Hekdash. So the Gemara says the Eitzim, the Chitler, the Tana, the Mishal Tzibur Minolon. Where indeed does the Tana take it as such an obvious fact that the Tzibur provides the wood? And by the way, it's not only as far as the wood that's used to burn the Korbanos on the Mizbeach. Elsewhere, the Gemara tells us that also when suppose a person has Noser, suppose a person has Noser, for example, so then they have two choices, basically. They can use wood from the Beis Mikdash to burn it, and then they have to burn it in a certain place in the Beis Mikdash, or they can choose to use their own wood, and then they can burn it anywhere in Yerushalayim they want. But here we're focusing on the wood that's used to burn the Korbanos on the Mizbeach. So the Eitzim, the Chitl, the Tana, the Mishal Tzibur Minolon, where indeed does the Tana take it as such a given that the wood is provided by the tzibur? Now, Tosfos wonders why we need a limud for it. Once we establish that the salt is provided by the tzibur, then the same thing should be the wood. So Tosfos says, Shema yesh tzad echad. Maybe there's a particular reason to say that the wood should be comparable to Levoina. And there is an explanation. Taras HaKodesh says, because after all, Levoina can be brought as a korban by itself, as we've learned before. So can wood, as we also learned before. On the other hand, you don't bring salt as a korban by itself, therefore we have maybe a reason to compare wood to levoina. So how do we know that not? How does the Tana take it as such a given that not? So the Tana, we learn in a braisa. Yochol ha'oimah harei alai oilo. You would think that when a person says, I am obligating myself to bring an oilo, yovi eitzim b'toch beis. So he should be required to bring wood from his house, in the same way as he has to bring the nesachim on his own. The person says, I'm going to bring an oila, then automatically he becomes chayiv in the nesachim, the flour, wine, and oil that goes with it as well. So maybe the same thing should be true as far as the wood. No, Talmud Lomar, because the pasuk says, Allah eitzim asher ala esh asher ala mizbeach, that he has to burn the korban on the wood, which is on the fire, which is on the mizbeach. So we see that we have a hekesh between these things. Ma mizbeach nishol tzibur, just like the mizbeach comes from the tzibur, which is a given, because the mizbeach was the original mizbeach was built when David built the mizbeach in the barn of Arav Nahayivusi. He raised money, as we learned at the end of Zochin, he raised money from all the shvatim in order to build it. And later on also, anytime they needed to repair or replace or whatever the mizbeach, they would do it from the money of the tzibur. So just like the mizbeach, the mishal tzibur, af eitz from the eish, mishal tzibur, the same way the wood and the fire has to be from the tzibur. What do we mean by the fire being from the tzibur? Fire doesn't really belong to anybody. So we learned in Zlochim, actually, we have the story over there where Ifra Hormuz, the Persian queen, had sent an animal for a korban to Rava, and Rava gave instructions to their satra to get two goyish boys and have them bring it as a korban, because again, goy nowadays are allowed to bring korbanos wherever they want. And one point is, in the instructions, Rava told them to make sure they used a new, in that case, the way they made fire, one of the ways they made fire in those days was by striking a stone against a metal metal shovel, or maybe two metal shovels together, and those shovels should also be new, because as the Gemara is going to go on to discuss over here, everything that's used for korbanos has to be new. It can't be something that's previously been used. So then in that case, it would mean the same thing over here. It would have to mean the same thing over here, that stones or matches or nowadays or whatever that you use to make the fire has to belong to the tzibur. So just like the mizbeach is from the tzibur, so is the wood and the fire. Mishal tzibur, give it of Allah's of Reb Shimon. That's what Reb Allah's of Reb Shimon says. And therefore we learn that the wood is provided by the tzibur and not by the individual person. Reb Allah's of Shamua learns differently. What we can learn from the comparison, just like the Mizbeach, can't be something that was ever used for mundane purposes. In particular, the Mishnah and Midas tells us that the stones that they used for the Mizbeach, they would dig them from deep underground, or they would get them from the bottom of the sea. They would take stones that had never been used before to build the Mizbeach. So the same way as that, the same way the wood and the fire have to be things that a hedyot never used. So again, in the case of the wood, that's easy to understand. Means you can't, let's say, take a piece of furniture and break it apart and use the wood for the mizbeach. As far as the fire, again, it would mean that whatever method you're using to make the fire has to be something that wasn't previously, for example, in the example in Zvachim over there, the shovel that they used to strike the flint or whatever it was against in order to make the spark for the fire has to be a new one. So he learns that that's the comparison. So the Gemara asks, "My Benai, what's the practical difference between the two opinions?" Now, what do you mean? Mefarshim asks, "What do you mean? What's the practical difference?" The practical difference is apparently Reb Shimon holds one drasha from the pasuk, and Reb Shimon holds a different drasha. Maybe they don't agree with each other's dinim. So the Yad David explains, of course they agree with each other's dinim. Reb Elazar and Shemua agrees it has to be Mishal Tzibur, but he says even without the Hekish, you know that. So therefore the Hekish must teach us that it has to be new, and vice versa, Reb Elazar and Shimon knows that they have to be new and previously unused, but he holds you don't need a Hekish for that. So then my Benai, what is the actual difference between them? The answer is Ikabinai. So we're saying that there is that difference. My Benai, and the answer is Ikabinai or Fadzi. There is a difference whether they have to be new. So I said it wrong. Reb Elazar ben Shamua would agree with the din that it's Mishal Tzibur. He would hold that you don't need a Hekesh for that. But there would in fact be an argument between them. Do they have to be new? Reb Elazar ben Shimon, who learns the Hekesh to say that they have to be Mishal Tzibur, he would not hold that they have to be new. He would be fine with using previously used wood or previously used shovel or whatever in order to bring the korbanos. Whereas Reb Elazar ben Shamua demands that they should be new and unused. So the halacha is like Reb Elazar ben Shamua, and Rishonim and Achronim discuss implications of that for halacha in later times as well, even in times when you don't have a Beis Mikdash. For example, can you take, for example, something that was previously used for a piece of clothing and use it, let's say, for example, for poroiches, for the aron. So, for example, for a mantle, for a sefer Torah. So the Aguda, a major sefer of halacha from one of the Rishonim, says that actually that the halacha is in fact like Reb Elazar ben Shamua, and therefore, for example, let's say he says you can't make a mantle for a sefer Torah out of something that was ever used for something else. On the other hand, the Chavis Yoyer disagrees and says that the halacha would be like Reb Elazar ben Shimon, and therefore it doesn't matter whether it was previously used. So you have more discussion about it among the Achronim. The Chassam Sofer also says that, in other words, we can say that there is, of course, it's brought Mishal Tzibur, but the question is that Here the Chavis Yoyer is saying the halacha is definitely like Reb Elazar ben Shimon, since the Braisa mentions him first. The Chassam Sofer says there's no proof in that. So in practice, in Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah brings like the Aguda, that you shouldn't. If you have something that was previously used for a mundane purpose, you shouldn't use it for Tashmishi Kedusha, such as a mantle for a Sefer Torah. On the other hand, there are later poskim who say that many people are noyig to be makel on that, like the Chavis Yoyer. One thing is, you find it used to be a common minhag in the German Kehillahs, that they would have a piece of cloth that after a baby boy was born, they would wrap him in it. They would, in particular, they'd wrap him in it after his bris, and afterwards they would embroider it with the baby's name and other details and donate it to the shul to be used as a belt, as a girdle for the Sefer Torah. So that means, in other words, it was previously used for a mundane purpose, but the Minhag HaOlam in those kehillos was in fact to do that. You can find sometimes in museums in various places, you can find old vimplach like that, they call them, from several hundred years ago. So the Gemara says that he's telling me a point of Elazar ben Shammua, at least, that you can't use previously used things for a korban. The pasuk says at the end of Shmuel, when you have the whole story over there about how there was a plague, and then David is told by a malach to go and bring a korbanos to Hashem, and to go build a mizbeach and bring korbanos in the granary of Aravna Hayavusi. And so David goes over there, and when he tells Aravna, I want to buy the place in order to build a mizbeach over there. So the pasuk says, the Sinyan of Zvachim as well. So Aravna says to David, you don't need to buy it. Let my master, the king, take and offer whatever is good in his eyes. See, I'm not only giving you the land, the cattle that I was using for plowing can be used for an ola, and the merigim, which we'll talk about in a minute what those are, and the other gear that's used together with the oxen, can be used for wood. So we see on the face of it, these are things that Aravna had been using for his farming up until now. The animals, mainly, you don't expect that an animal should have never been worked with, but the wood, when he's saying the merigim, which we're going to explain in a minute, are used for threshing, and the clay habakar is the other gear that's used together with the animals, such as a yoke for plowing or other such things, sounds like they've been used before, and Aravna offers them to David. And David doesn't turn them down and say, no, they're used. He just says, I don't want to take them for free. I'm going to buy them from you for their fair market value. But so we see there's no problem with using ones that are used. The answer is hochanami b'chadti. The answer is no. As a matter of fact, you could say they are in fact new. These are new things that Aravna had not yet used. When we learned about it in Zvachim, actually, we were discussing the Gemara had discussed over there does this din of having davka new ones applied to only to the Mizbeach and the Mishkan, or also to Obama. So if you say by Obama you don't have that rule, well then you have a different answer as well, which the Gemara mentions over there. Abaye gives that as an answer that it was Obama, and therefore you're allowed to use things. But anyway, the other answer is that no, they were new, that Aravna is offering him merigim and clay bakar that were not in fact used yet. So the Gemara says my merigim. Okay, so fine. But by the way, what are merigim? And the answer is almost all the mitashol tarabel. It's what's called in later Lashon Kodesh, it was called a bed of tarabel. Well, my mitashol tarabel, well, in the Amoroyim in Bava, weren't familiar with that term. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Iza de Kurkasa. It means a heavy wooden board with grooves or pegs in it. The dashubod destroy that the threshers thresh with it. It would be, in English, it's called a threshing sledge. It's basically a flat board with either or both. There can be grooves in it, or there can be they can embed in it nails and sharp stones and things like that. The point is that when you need to thresh grain, you have to break through the shells and the kernels of the grain, and for that matter, the straw itself has to be cut down to a more manageable size. So what you do is you have this threshing sledge. You would spread the mixture of grain and shells and straw and everything on the threshing floor. Then you would have oxen go round and round, pulling the threshing sledge behind them, and the weight of it would press down. Sometimes you'd have a person standing on top of the sledge. The weight of it would press down on the stalks and break open the shells, so that now the kernels can be extracted from the shells, and also it would cut up the straw. So now at the end, you have a mixture of straw and shells. Then you have that's the malacha of Dosh, the fifth malacha of Shabbos. And then the next malacha after that is Zoda. You take that mixture of straw and shells and grain and all that, and then throw it up into the air, and the wind would carry away the lighter stuff and allow the heavier grains to fall. In any case, so that kind of thing is called in Hebrew a moving. On Rabbi Yosef, my pro, Rabbi Yosef says, where is a pasuk where we see that? That's the definition of Morag. Hashem says to the Jewish people, behold, I have made you like a new grooved, like a new grooved Morag. Again, the idea is either the grooves or where the grooves, if it's made with grooves, or the things that stick out if it's made that way. Either way, that roughness causes these shells and things to break open. So I have made you, Hashem says to the Jewish people, like a new grooved Murag, Baal Pifias, with sharp edges, Todush Horin, you will thresh the mountains, meaning the Gurisha nations, the powerful Gurisha nations who are compared to mountains, you'll thresh them and you'll break them down and then turn them into powder with your power of Hashem that's behind you. Meaning, in other words, basically we're talking about Avodas Habirurim. We're talking about, you know, after all, these Goyish nations have within them sparks of Kedusha, much like these shells and straw have within them the kernels of grain that you want. So you have to break open the shells in order to get at the kernels. The same way Hashem is telling the Jewish people, you're going to have the ability to break through these clippers of the Goyim. Clippers, after all, literally means shells and husks. So you're going to have the ability to break them down and extract the kedusha from them, like a threshing sledge, like a murag does to the grain.
What's the source of this pasuk that we're going to be able to?
It's a pasuk in Yeshaya. We have it actually. It's near the end of that. Among the haftorahs, it's near the end of the haftorah of Lech Lecha, where Avraham Avinu began the avodah sabirurim. So it's very appropriate for that.
What's the pasuk, the chapter in the pasuk?
It's chapter 41 of Yeshaya, pasuk Tetzav.
Uh-huh.
So the point is, in other words, so we see that's what a Morag is, and therefore we understand when Aravna is offering his Morigim to David to use as firewood for the Korbanos, then we understand that these are his threshing sledges. And again, based on what the Gemara is saying, we would have to understand that it means that these were new ones that he had made for his farming use, but he hadn't actually used yet, because if he had already used them, then they couldn't use them for the wood for the korbanos. Okay. And the point is, we see from this discussion that the wood is provided by the tzibur, and the person himself who brings a korban does not have to provide his own wood for the purpose. Okay. The Mishnah says, this out of kumtza b'kormetz chavata, if the koymetz of a mincha was mixed together with the koymetz of another mincha. Now, we don't mean mixed as in mixed up, you can't tell which is which. We mean mixed as in they were actually blended together. Or the minchas koyanim, or the koymetz of a mincha was mixed with a mincha of koyanim, which is completely burnt on the mizbeach. The point is, all these things we're going to list, all are completely burnt on the mizbeach. So therefore, there ought not to be any problem with it. If you had the koymetz was mixed with the shirayim, then you have a problem. Then we're going to talk about that in subsequent mishnayos. But here, where you have one thing that's going to be burned on the mizbeach is mixed with another one, which is also going to be burned on the mizbeach, then there's much less of an issue. So it's out of kumtza b'koymetz chavata, if the koymetz was mixed together with the koymetz of another mincha, the minchas koyanim, or it was mixed together with the mincha of koyanim, the minchas koyan mashiach, or it was mixed with the mincha of the koyan mashiach, the minchas chavitin, that the koyan gadol brings every day, both of those, the minchas koyanim and the minchas koyan mashiach, are completely burned on the mizbeach. The minchas nesachim, or it gets mixed with minchas nesachim, which again is completely burnt on the mizbeach. So then kshera. So then the whole mixture is kosher. The expression kshera, by the way, is it ought to be kshereis in the plural on the face of it. So what it means is basically so what it means is because the whole mincha, the whole Rashi explains, the whole Mishnah is phrased in the singular, so therefore it uses the word kshera, even though correctly it would be the word kshereis. The Pharisee Yisrael explains that kshera, the mixture as a whole, is kosher. So yeah, you can offer the whole thing on the mizbeach, no problem. However, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says, not so simple. The minchas koyim mashiach, the minchas nesachim, if that koymetz of a regular mincha got mixed with the minchas koyim mashiach, or the minchas nesachim, then Rabbi Yehuda says, psula, then it will be posel. Shezubli losa over, zubli losa raka. Because the problem is, says Rabbi Yehuda, that each one has a different consistency. A regular mincha, the consistency of it is you have one isarin of flour and you have one lug of oil. As far as if it's a mincha larger than one isarin, whether you have multiple lugim of oil, that's machlokas later in the masechta. But in any case, you never have more than one lug of oil per isarin of flour. On the other hand, the minchas chavitin of the Kohen Gadol has one isarin of flour, but it has three lugim of oil, so it's three times the amount of oil. And as far as mesachim, the ratio is 1 to 2. You have when it comes to it's 1 to 2 or 1 to 3. Well, you have different kinds of mesachim. When you have the nesachim of a sheep are indeed one log to one sarin. But actually, even with a sheep, you have one isarin together with two lugim of oil. Okay. When it comes to a bull, the Torah tells us in Parashas Nisachim, the Torah tells us in Parashas Shlach that the amount is for a bull you have three asuronim of flour. For a bull you have three asuronim of flour and six lugim of oil. So you have twice as much lugim per isarin as you do for a regular mincha. For a ram, it's two asuronim of flour and four lugim. So again, twice as much oil. And in the case of a sheep, there's even more oil because you have one isarin of flour and three lug of oil. So a sheep, so the nesachim for a sheep and the nesachim for a Kohen Gadol's mincha have three times as much oil as a regular mincha. The nesachim for a ram or for cattle have twice as much as a regular mincha. So now what happens is, Rabbi Yehuda says, now if you have the koymets of a regular mincha is mixed in with them, he says, psula, shezubli losa ovav, shezubli losa gata, because one has a thicker consistency and the other one has a thinner consistency. They ain't bolas zumizu, and they absorb one from another. So therefore, in effect, what you have is now the koymets has too much oil in it, and as we learned in the first paragraph, if you have too much oil, then it's possible. The minchas mesachim now has too little oil is also possible. So again, psulois, Rabbi Yehuda would say that they're both possible, but again, as Rashi says, the whole Mishnah is phrased in the singular. So they're going to absorb from one another. Therefore, Rabbi Yehuda says it's going to be a problem. The Chachamim say it's not a problem because you're going to offer them all together. Now, it's true if you were to separate them and then try to offer one of them as they are separately than the other, it's true you would have a problem because then you have this problem of too much oil in one and too little of the other. But here, since you're offering them all together, then therefore we're not worried about that one contains too much and too little oil. Because as the Gemara is going to explain, you have something called ein olim mevatan zu asu, things that are offered together on the mizbeach are not mevato one another. So the Gemara starts off. Tnan Hasam. Now let's compare as far as this matter of things being mixed up. We learned in Masechta Zvachim, Dam Shenis Arabayim, blood of Korbanos that was mixed with water. In Yeshve Maris Dam, if it still looks like blood, and Tosfos says we don't just mean that it has a tinge of red. We mean that it still looks fully like blood. Kosher, then it's kosher to sprinkle on the mizbeach. This out of the yayin, we said, what if the blood instead got mixed with wine, and you can't tell because wine has approximately the same color as blood. Then we have to evaluate if we have this amount of water instead of this amount of wine, would it still look like blood? This Arab Bedam Behema or Bedam Chaya, if it got mixed with the blood of a regular chulin animal or wild domestic or wild animal, then the same thing, we would look at it as though it was water, we would see how much other blood is there over here and figure out if that was the same amount of water instead. Would the blood of the kudshin be bottled in it? And if yeah, then yeah, and if not, then and if not, then it's kosher to sprinkle. Tosfos in that Gemara in Zvachin points out that you can't bring cholim into the Azara. So one answer Tosfos gave a couple of answers over there, including that since you're doing it in order to make the korban kosher, then we're not worried about cholim Azara. Another opinion is that maybe that whole concept is only Dirabbanan, and then several other answers Tosfos discusses over there how you can do it. In any case, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Ein Dam Mevatel Dam, Rabbi Yehuda says, never mind that. Doesn't matter how much blood there was of Chulin, even if it was a lot more than the Kodshin, and had it been water, it would have been Mevatel, the appearance of it. Rabbi Yehuda says, blood is not Mevatel blood. Min B'mina is not Vatel. Now, so we'll discuss that. We'll get to soon then how that relates back to our Mishnah. So the Gemara points out, both Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim are both darshaning on the basis of the same pasuk how the dinim of bittul work. Namely, the pasuk tells us, when it comes to the korbanos of Yom Kippur, the kohen takes the blood of the par into the kodesh kedoshim and sprinkles it, and the blood of the sur and does the same thing. Then he does both of them in front of the heichel. After that, the pasuk says you should take from the blood of the par and the blood of the sur and put it on the corners of the mizbeach. So that means, in other words, he's mixing together. There comes a point where he mixes together the two basins full of blood and applies the mixture to the corners of the mizbeach. Now, Now, it's an obvious thing that a bull has more blood in it than a goat, because a bull is a physically larger animal, so it has more blood. And yet it's not bottle. So you see that it's not bottle. So what can we learn from that? Now, Tosfos brings up a point over here, by the way, we learned in Zvachin that in fact there is a difference what falls into what. For example, in the case we quoted from that Mishnah in Zvachin about blood getting mixed up with water, it depends whether the water fell into the blood or the blood into the water. We talked about over there, if the blood falls into the water, then every bit of it becomes bottle as it falls into the water, and even when you have enough blood falls in, that now it will look like blood after all. Nevertheless, it's already bottle and it's too late. So Tosfos says over here and in other places in Shas, and there's a difference how rapidly you're pouring it in. Here we're talking about you pour in the blood of the pow into the soul, or vice versa. You pour a large amount in at once, then we don't say that the first little bit that gets in is bottle. Had you poured it in drop by drop, then you're right, we would say it's bottle. So now that we know definitely over there the blood of the par and the sur are not being mevatel one another. Now why is that? Rabbanan sabri, the Rabbanan take the view we can la'olam shein mevatel zezeh. From here we learn that things that are offered on the mizbeach are not mevatel one another. So even though there is physically more blood of par than sur, but each one is supposed to be offered, and therefore we don't care, the miyot is not going to be bottled. So Tosfos points out, when it comes to eating, we're anyway going to say we have a concept called Ein Mitzvos Mevatlos Zuazu. The Gemara discusses this in Psachim as far as the whole matter of Korech during the Seder when Hillel would eat Pesach, Matzah, and Maror together, and we say that Hillel held that and the Halacha has not been fully established whether like him or like the Chachamim, that we say each one is not Mevatlos the other. We wouldn't say because you're eating the Matzah because you have, let's say, more Matzah and Maror in your Korech than Korban Pesach, therefore it should be Mevatlos the Korban Pesach. It doesn't work that way. Mitzvahs are not mevatel one another. But here we're talking about not as far as eating, so therefore we need a separate din called Ein Olin Mevatel Zezeh. So therefore, so the Chacham said that's the basis for it. But Rabbi Yehuda says, we can't min b'mina she'ein bottle. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda holds, what we can learn from this is that min b'mina is not bottle. When you have two things that are the same min, in this case, both of them are blood, then they're not mevatel one another. So nothing to do, says Rabbi Yehuda, with whether they're oiling. Here we're talking about one thing of blood, not in the case of the korbanos of Yom Kippur, but in the regular case where blood gets mixed up with blood. And Rabbi Yehuda is saying, so the blood of cholin may be a lot more than the blood of kodshim, and it would be mevatel, the appearance of it, but it doesn't matter, they're both blood, and min b'mino is not bottle. So they're both learning their dinim from the respective point. So in other words, it comes out that it comes out the Chiddushim Amichasim LaRashba points out that the Chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda are arguing in two different points. The Chachamim say that things that are Oila are not Mevato one another, but things that are Min could be. And Rabbi Yehuda says the other way around: things that are Oila could be Mevato one another, as we said in the Mishnah. But whereas things that are minoy are not. Tosfos has a long discussion over here about various angles on this, about minoy and minbashene minoy and all this different kind of thing when we say bitul and when we don't, and when we do and when we don't. Is there a difference maybe between liquids and is there a difference between liquids and dry things? And then Tosfos has a long discussion about over here, which is one of the basic places where all these dinim of bitul min b'minoy come, that the later posts can discuss. This Tosfos over here is a major source for them. In addition, there's also a very fundamental ran in Nedarim that discusses this matter of min b'minoy and min b'sheinei minoy. The Ran makes a point over there that we have to look at, the Chachamim say, you have to look not just at the min as in the physical similarity of it, you have to also look at what's the halachic similarity between them. For example, if you have two things that are min b'minoy, but one's osur and one's mutter, then the Chachamim are going to say, the fact that they're chemically the same thing doesn't matter to us. The fact that halachically they're different is reason enough to consider them min b'shein and minoy. And therefore, they're going to say to Rabbi Yehuda, in this case, you have blood of chulin and blood of kodshim, for example, yes, to a chemist, they're the same thing, to a biologist, they're the same thing, but to a posit, they're not, because one is blood of kodshim and one is blood of chulin, and therefore they're considered different, therefore they're not considered min b'minoy. So the Gemara says, well, let's analyze this. Rabbanan, Savri Mikan, Oyvim Shein Mavakim Zezre, you're telling me that the Rabbanan hold that we learn from that case of the parents, so that things that are offered on the Mizbeach are not Mavato one another. But how do we know? How do they know it's a Dashin that way? The Duma Mishum de Min Miminehu. Maybe, in fact, the reason is because of Min Miminehu. So therefore, maybe they should agree with Rabbi Yehuda. The answer is no. Iyashin Inan, Min Miminehu, Zalayashin Inan, Zalayashin Inan Oilin. No, because if the pasuk, there's a chum hold like this, if the pasuk was telling us this chiddush, that it's not bottled only by min mimino, but the loyashmin and oilin, but it didn't tell us by something which is oilin, then you have a valid point. The Torah would be implying to us that min mimino is never bottled. Hashdashmin and oilin, but since the pasuk was telling us this case of one not being bottled and the other, specifically by oilin, specifically it's telling us by blood of korbanos, both of which are meant to be offered on the mizbeach, then we could say mishum de oilin. Then we have good reason to say that the fundamental reason why they're not mevatel is not so much because they're min b'minoy, but rather because they're both oilin. Well, the Gemara says why the Dilma ad the ik min b'minoy ze oilin. Fine, according to the Chachamim, maybe you need both. Maybe it needs, in order to not be bottle, it has to be min b'minoy, and it has to be that they're both offered on the mizbeach. How do we know we shouldn't learn that way? Unless it's kasha, you're right. That is a kasha. We haven't slugged it up, but nevertheless we don't understand why they can't say that way. Why we wouldn't say that maybe you need both factors. The Chot Nosan discusses and explains that you can't say that each one holds, there's only one factor. There's no reason to think that. You should say that maybe in fact you need two factors. And the fact is, in our Mishnah also, you have when the Kometz got mixed up in another Mincha and is Oilin, and that's also Min B'Minoy. Why should we assume that the Chachamim, why do the Chachamim say that only that it's enough that it's oilin to not be mevato one another, and we don't care whether it's min miminoy? Maybe in fact the pasuk is implying that you need both of them. Okay, so that's it. So the Gemara leaves that with a kasha. Okay, what about Rabbi Yehuda? So now we said Rabbi Yehuda holds mikan min b'mina she'en in bottle. We're saying Rabbi Yehuda holds that from here we learn that min b'mina is not bottle, regardless whether they're oilin or not. We have to ask the other way around on him. Maybe the reason they're not bottle is because both of them are offered on a mizbeach, but not just the fact that they're min b'mina. And Rabbi Yehuda says the other way around, because Rabbi Yehuda would say, Yeshin in an Olin, Min Vashain in Minoy. Fine, but the Torah could have told us this matter, that one is not Mavasal another, when they're Olin, but Min Vashain in Minoy. They're different Minin. Then we would say, then we'd say, like you said, that it means that one is not, that one Olin is not Mavasal the other. Hashtadash Min and Min Minoy, but since the Torah tells us this in connection with a case of Min Minoy, one based in a blood on another, then we have to say, Mishum the Min Minoy, who, then we have reason to assume that it's because Min Minoy. But the Gemara asks the Dilma ad de ikam min b'minoy ve'olin. So you can ask on Rabbi Yehuda the opposite of what we asked about according to the Chachamim. Same as we asked according to the Chachamim. Maybe it means that you need both. Maybe in order for it to not be bottled, it has to be min b'minoy and olin. And the Gemara again says kasha. You're right. It's a kasha. Why Rabbi Yehuda can't learn that way. So fine. Each one of them, we're saying, hypothetically, they could have learned from the pasuk that you need both factors. But each one of them is in fact saying that we need only one. Each one of them is saying only that we need only one factor, according to the Chachamim. The fact that they're Olim, and according to Rabbi Yehuda, the fact that they're Min Minoy. Once we take up the Ran's Chiddush, that when you have things that are dissimilar in Halacha, then they're not really considered Min Minoy anymore, then that can help answer these questions over here, even though they're Min Minoy physically, but because they're not Min Minoy halachically, therefore they're considered Min B'Shein Minoy. So that would at least explain the Chacham's opinion that even though once they're both Olin, if they're Min B'Minoy, then that would at least explain when they're Olin and they're Min B'Minoy, then we would say that they're not Mavato one another, because then it's completely Min B'Minoy. And Min Minoy cannot be bottled, but when you have any dissimilarity between them, as in the case where one of them is blood of Kulin and the other is blood of Karchim, then you can call them Min Mishain and Minoy, whereas Rabbi Yehuda would disagree with that. Okay. So now that we went through that, let's look at how this relates back to our Mishnah. So the Gemara says, Tnan, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Minchas Koinim, and Minchas Koin Mashiach, of Minchas Asafim, that Rabbi Yehuda had said that if the Koimets got mixed up, and Minchas Koinim doesn't belong over here, because Minchas Koinim the word Minchas Koinim, Shittim Kubetzes, takes them out, and various other Mephoshim take it out, because what do we care if it's mixed with Minchas Koinim? The Minchas Koinim, anyway, is completely burnt on the Mizbeach, and it is the same consistency as the Koimets, and therefore who cares whether it got mixed up with the Koimets. On the other hand, the Rambam does have it in Pirush HaMishnayos. He does have it, and the idea would be, Rabbi Yehuda would say, that even though they're the same consistency, the fact is they do absorb from one another. Tosfos on Amud Aleph also points out that after all, even things that are the same consistency, you have the koimets of one mincha and the koimets of another mincha, the fact is, don't they absorb from one another? And the same thing, the koimets together with the minchas koyanim, the fact is, even if they are the same consistency, they do absorb from one another. So the Rambam has the word minchas koyanim in the Mishnah, and also over here. The other opinion would say as long as they're the same consistency, even Rabbi Yehuda would agree it's not a problem. The question is only when they're different consistencies. Anyway, the Minchas Koyim Mashiach or Minchas Nesachim, if it's mixed up with the Minchas Koyim Mashiach or the Minchas Nesachim, which, as we said, has a different consistency, the Minchas Koyim Mashiach has three times as much oil as a regular mincha, the Minchas Nesachim, depending on the type of animal, has two or three times as much, Sula, then Rabbi Yehuda said it's possible for Zubli Lasa Ova and Zubli Lasa Raka, because one is a thicker consistency and the other is a thinner consistency. They boilas Zumizu, and therefore they absorb from one another. Now we have to ask, who cares whether they absorb from one another? After all, they're Min Minoy, Min Minoy. They both contain flour. They both contain oil. And it should be considered Min B'Minoy, and therefore they shouldn't be Mavato, one another. So what's the problem? Hugh was saying in the Mishnah that the problem is that you have one of them has too much oil and the other has too little oil because they absorb. But if we're saying that Rabbi Yehuda says Min B'Minoy is not Bato, then it's not going to be considered Bato because what's the problem? So Amar Rava, the answer is Kasavar Rabbi Yehuda, because Rabbi Yehuda takes the view like this. Kol shehu min b'mino, when you have min b'mino, you have a mixture of two things that are the same. The dover acher, but it's not just min b'mino, you also have something else. Here you have the flowers mixed together, but you also have the oils mixed together. You have the flour, you have the oils mixed together, but the flour is also mixed together. So Rabbi Yehuda will say, salakas mino, kamisha eno. What you have to do is you have to consider as though the minoy is not there anymore. So in this case, you would consider the oil of the koimetz, you would consider as though it wasn't there. So the she'en in minoy, rava olav mevatle, and then the result is what's not in minoy, the flour, which is not the same min as the oil, is going to overpower it and be mevatle it. So in other words, Rabbi Yehuda will say, So in other words, we are in fact going to say that in that case you do have a case in min b'she'en and minoy, and therefore it's going to be bottle, So that's why Rabbi Yehuda holds in our Mishnah that's fossil, not because min b'minoy, but on the contrary, because min b'she'en and minoy in that case, because we ignore the minoy and we focus on the she'en and minoy. This is going to come up when we get to Cholin, Bez Hashem, we'll be discussing these kinds of dinim of min b'she'en and minoy, as far as Taruvas, as far as Issa v'Heter, in great detail, but that's what that kind of thing comes from there. So we'll continue discussing tomorrow, Bez Hashem. We'll talk about various other angles when things of Menachos get mixed up together and what the dinim of them are going to be.